And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about some of the top issues going on in the news right now. I wanted to give some commentary on the situation with Judge Kavanaugh, who's now been officially confirmed as the next Supreme Court Justice. The Trump administration and the Republicans have been successful in confirming Kavanaugh in spite of this whole charade, this fiasco that went on with the radical leftists and the Democratic Party and all of this shouting and screaming and all this other kind of stuff that is apparently still going on with a lot of those on the left shouting out against the confirmation of Kavanaugh. And of course, the leading issue that they're arguing about, especially all the feminists, is Roe v. Wade. That's the number one issue, probably. They are mentioning other things. They're all saying that they think gay marriage will be overturned and all this other kind of stuff. And that could well be the case. But gay marriage should be overturned because that's not at all a constitutional ruling. If anyone examines the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution itself, the gay marriage ruling is really nullified. It's negated by the principles involved, the idea that rights come from God as our creator. There's no right of gay marriage. None of that would have ever been acknowledged by anyone who founded and built our country, and certainly not by anybody who established our founding documents. So it's absurd to argue that something like gay marriage would be, in any context whatsoever, a constitutional right. But we'll see what happens. What I wanted to mention with Kavanaugh and the Republicans is something that, I'm going over a lot of the footage for our next film on the true Christian history of America, and we're getting into the editing process more and more, and I'm going through the testimony of Pastor Matt Truella, who we interviewed for the film. Now, Pastor Matt Truella is the author of the book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. Great book, a very concise work that's gotten a lot of attention in conservative circles because Pastor Matt talks about the issues, really the primary doctrine employed by Reformed Christian leaders for centuries. And that is this doctrine of the lesser magistrates. That when you have a higher authority like a king or someone in power who abuses their authority and who violates the laws of God in particular, and then tries to oppress the common people, it is the right, the responsibility, and the duty of those who are in lesser positions of power to resist the higher magistrate. Okay? So let's say you have a governor, and he's under the authority of a king, and the king gives some unjust command of some kind. The governor would then be authorized to resist the king and to refuse to carry out the king's command if it were unjust, unlawful, etc. Probably the best historic example, well, there's a number of them that we could look at, but in particular, the Glorious Revolution of 1688 happened over this very issue because King James II had issued his Edict of Toleration that was intended to give access to the Jesuits and basically the Inquisition to empower them into positions of authority there in England. And it was commanded that the bishops, the Protestant bishops, read the king's command in all the churches and so on. Well, these bishops refused to do it. So they were thrown in the tower, brought up on charges. And when the case went to the court, to the judges found in favor of these bishops and against the king. Why? Because what the king had done was unlawful. It was against the laws of England. He didn't have the right to do it. And so they said, nope, king is wrong. The bishops are right. And we declare the bishops to be not guilty. So that's what happened. So the judges there were acting as lesser magistrates, resisting the higher magistrate, the king. They resisted him and maintained the law. So that's where we interviewed Pastor Matt Truella because of his book and this teaching and so on, which is all very, very fascinating. The American Revolution, just so we understand, really operated on that principle of lesser magistrates, lesser authorities standing in the gap and resisting King George and his tyranny. But as I'm going over the footage with Pastor Matt, he is very involved in his ministry with pro-life and confronting the abortion industry. Very, very active in this and has been very, very effective in his part of the country. And one of the things that he brought up in the interview was that Christians and conservatives have this idea that if you can just get a Republican-appointed Supreme Court justice on the court, and if the Republicans can have a majority on the Supreme Court, then Roe v. Wade could be overturned. You can get rid of Roe v. Wade. And he says this is kind of a false impression that many Christians have and many evangelicals, and because they don't know the history of the Supreme Court and they don't know the history of Roe v. Wade. And he brings up the issue in the interview that Roe v. Wade was actually confirmed under a Republican-dominated Supreme Court, that they were Republican-appointed judges that were in the majority. And so I went and I looked this up. There's an article on this. There's a number of articles. But here, the one I'm going to quote from here, this is from a publication called the Bristol Herald Courier. And this is from an article back in 2008, just so we understand. So this is an older article, 10 years old. But it's written by a guy who claims to be an evangelical Christian and a Democrat. And he says in the article, he says, quote, I've had statements made to me such as come out from among them or you can't be like Christ and be a Democrat. And then he goes on, he says, I realize that many godly pastors and Bible teachers with good intentions and true sincerity have held ferociously to their beliefs about Democrats for years. And then he goes on and he says, now for Democrats like myself, who are also evangelicals, it is time to set the record straight. Well, in this article, he points out that the 1973 Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade was legalized by a seven to two vote on the court. He says, quote, six of the seven justices in the majority were Republican appointees. The only Democrat appointee, Byron White, voted against Roe v. Wade. And he says, in fact, in every year since 1969, the United States Supreme Court has been controlled by a majority of Republican-appointed judges. There has not been a Democrat-appointed chief justice since 1953. Now, remember, this is 2008. He says, currently there are seven Republican appointees and two nominated by Democrats. Obviously, if the Republican majority has wanted to overturn Roe v. Wade at any time since 1973, they had the votes to do so. Why haven't they? Okay, and the article goes on from there. But this article really is just in confirmation for me of what Pastor Matt Truella had pointed out when I interviewed him. And he said, you know, Christians and conservatives, they keep having this impression, if we can just get the conservative majority on the court, we can overturn Roe v. Wade. And right now, that expectation has never been higher than it is with the appointment of Judge Kavanaugh. It's never been higher, at least in my lifetime that I can recall. I cannot recall a time when evangelicals have expected that Roe v. Wade is finally going to be overturned. Now remember, you had Justice Kennedy, who Kavanaugh is replacing. Justice Kennedy was appointed by Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan appointed Kennedy, and Kennedy totally supported Planned Parenthood and consequently Roe v. Wade. And Kennedy, even though he was appointed as a conservative judge, and it was Justice Kennedy who also supported the gay marriage ruling, okay, during the Obama administration. So now all of these expectations where people are arguing that, well, now that we've got a conservative majority, now we can do this and that and the other, it should be very interesting to see what's going to happen going forward. And the reason I point these things out is, one, I just found it really fascinating because I was going over this footage just in the last day. And I saw that clip and I remembered Pastor Matt talking about it, but we interviewed him months ago. And I saw the clip and I thought about everything going on with Kavanaugh and the fact that everybody's expecting that now that Kavanaugh's in, now they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. This is the reason why all of these leftists and feminists out there are just yelling and screaming and getting hysterical because they believe that this means Roe v. Wade will be overturned. But will that be the case? Will that be the case? It should be very, very interesting to see what happens. Very interesting. I mean, obviously, we disagree with Roe v. Wade and think it should be overturned, especially this aspect of it, government taxpayer-funded abortions, which is absurd, the idea that anybody would think this is a right that anybody has in our country. It's completely absurd. It's contrary to what men like James Madison said. Madison said specifically that the government should not pass any law that is seen as obnoxious to the general population of the people. And there's no question that the idea of taxpayer-funded abortion is obnoxious to at least half the country, and probably more than half if they knew fully what the abortion industry was all about. All right, we are coming up on a commercial break. We're going to go to the break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about a couple of stories here and a book. A new book that is getting great reviews on Amazon by Marcantonio Colonna. And the book is called The Dictator Pope, The Inside Story of the Francis Papacy, really describing Pope Francis as a dictator and saying that that what's happened to the Vatican while he's been the Pope, they've created a climate of fear and intimidation there. The book apparently talks about the homosexual lobby in the Vatican. The whole thing is very, very disturbing. Now, what's interesting, we know that Pope Francis is a Jesuit. We know that he has many Jesuit advisors. But here's a twist. The author of this book was Jesuit trained. Is this book what it appears to be, or is it somehow or other, you know, disinformation or a Jesuit Hegelian dialectic? I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back right after this.
Such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about, well, this next story here. Here's a headline from Breitbart. Vatican cracks down on critics of Pope Francis. Critics of Pope Francis. It says, quote, "The Vatican has taken new measures to punish critics of Pope Francis in a move that seems to belie the Pope's earlier calls for greater dialogue and debate within the Church." On Thursday, the Rome-based Sovereign Order of Malta, which reports directly to the Holy See, suspended historian Henry Sayer after he was revealed to be the author of the best-selling book, The Dictator Pope, The Inside Story of the Francis Papacy, a critical examination of the pontificate of Pope Francis. Then it goes on from there. Okay. Then there's also a move to take down the website infovaticana.com. The Vatican has reportedly hired the international law firm of Baker McKenzie, which is like a very, very powerful billion-dollar law firm. Not just multi-million, multi-billion-dollar law firm. A massive law firm that's considered by many to be the most powerful single law firm in the industry. Baker McKenzie, hired by the Vatican to try and force this small Spanish website called Info Vaticana to shut down, because apparently, well, I can only imagine in the Spanish speaking world, which, you know, the Latino world, the Spanish-speaking world, heavily Catholic, and have a website like that that is critical of the Vatican, critical of the papacy, undoubtedly critical of the Jesuit order. It's hard for me to tell because the whole thing is written in Spanish. They have a French version of the website. I still haven't been able to figure out if they've got an English version of the site anywhere. If you guys find an English version of that site, send me a link at comments@adullamfilms.com, or you can send it through the Noise of Thunder website. Anyway, so I'm still trying to figure out whether or not they have an English version of the site, but I'm not able to fully read what's there. But the website must have some pretty heavy material because the Vatican's going to great lengths to try and get it shut down. the Order of Malta. I remember years ago, there was a prominent evangelical minister, and it was announced that he had become a member of the Knights of Malta. If you ever hear about anybody who's a member of the Knight of Malta, remember the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, report directly to the Pope, to the Holy See. And they are, by their profession, they are servants of the papacy. But even the Order of Malta has been, this same article goes on to talk about how in January of 2017, the Vatican took control of the Knights of Malta and ousted its Grand Master, Matthew Festing, for his defiance of papal authority. You see, the Jesuits have been running the Vatican now for over 100 years. We know that because of comments made by Westcott and Hort in particular. If you read the letters of Hort, interestingly, of all people, but of course, Hort was, we believe, a closet Romanist based on his comments. We talk about that in Bridge to Babylon. But anyway, Hort, among the things that he says, he talks about something that the Pope might do in the future. And he says, well, he would do this. The Pope would do this. He said, if the Jesuits would let him. If the Jesuits would let him. Words to that effect. But making very clear that his understanding was that the Jesuits really control the Pope. You find similar commentary from H. Grattan Guinness, who was a Protestant minister back then. But most importantly, I think even more important than those comments, would be the book, The Black Pope, by M.F. Cusack, who was a former nun. And you can actually find that book now on Amazon. There is a published version of it that you can find and read. And of course, The Black Pope is a nickname for the Jesuit general, arguing that he's the black pope behind the white pope and that he really controls the Vatican. That has been argued for years, been argued for more than 100 years. So that's why I say the Jesuits have controlled the Vatican for at least 100 years and probably about 150. That's my guess. It's hard to say when because they had been abolished. Then they came back in 1814 and 15. And exactly when they got into control of the Vatican is difficult to tell exactly. But anyway, whenever Pope Francis now, because he's the first Jesuit pope, but with so many of his, especially the early statements that he made after he was appointed as pope, he would have these meetings with Jesuits that would come in and they'd have these closed meetings that nobody else was allowed to be a part of. And they would basically coach him, presumably, on what he's going to say. And the comments that he's making are very calculated comments. Like when he said about homosexuality, when he said, who am I to judge? Almost immediately, you had Jesuits that ran out and began saying, oh, the Pope has said, who am I to judge? And then they began promoting and trying to advance homosexuality within the Catholic churches. And that issue has got a lot of traditional Catholics very, very upset. Very, very upset. If you go to the website Church Militant, that is about as traditional, hardcore, Orthodox Catholic as you're going to get. And they staunchly oppose the homosexual lobby within the Vatican and the Catholic Church overall. And your traditional Catholics think it's reprehensible. They also believe and have said extensively that this has everything to do with the pedophile movement among the Catholic priesthood and the cardinals and so on, and the cover-ups with McGarrick and all this other kind of stuff that's going on is because of the promotion and attempt to normalize homosexuality in the Roman Church. And so a lot of your traditionalist Catholics, even they recognize this is nothing but pure depravity and wickedness and evil. And so it seems like that could very well have been what was going on with some of the leaders and the Knights of Malta. And so the Vatican now has reportedly taken control of the Knights of Malta. So here's what part of this article says. It says that in the book, The author, quote, portrayed Francis as an authoritarian leader who does not brook opposition or criticism. Contrary to his public persona as a jovial man of the people, Sire wrote that Francis has turned out to be, quote, a papal tyrant, the like of whom has not been seen for many centuries. And under his administration, quote, the Vatican is systematically silencing, eliminating, and replacing critics of the Pope's views. When the publicity cameras are off him, Pope Francis turns into a different figure, arrogant, dismissive of people, prodigal of bad language, and notorious for furious outbursts of temper, which are known to everyone from the cardinals to the chauffeurs, he declared. And as the article points out elsewhere, all the attempts by the Vatican to try and deny these things, and how are they could just release a statement saying these things are untrue and it's unfortunate that someone would say this, but they're not. They're actually trying to shut people down now, using their power and influence to shut people down. You know, this, just imagine the only reason why that there is any kind of restraint with the Vatican on this stuff is because of the Great Reformation. Because prior to the Reformation, if you insulted the Pope or the Holy See or the cardinals or anybody, you would be arrested. You would be tortured and burned at the stake. I mean, William Tyndale, one of the things that I wanted to mention on the show today is that the death of William Tyndale. Tyndale was killed October 6th in the year 1536. So the anniversary of his martyrdom has just passed here a few days ago. And of course, in our film, A Lamp in the Dark, we went to Vilvoorde, the town where Tyndale was killed. But Tyndale was specifically condemned and executed. According to the curator of the Tyndale Museum, it was officially because he denied the authority of the Pope as the head of the church. Why? Because there's only one true head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to have to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.